Kronik shotgun formation. Another low snap. Goes down the field to Lefebvre in the middle. Field caught inside the five. Touchdown, Eagles. Kate Kronik and Orlando Lefebvre step up and make a huge play. Goes with the draw to Cumming, and Cumming is hit and brought down. Alec Ellis came flying through the line of scrimmage, brings Cumming down for a loss of one, back to the 45. Snap goes to Kronik, carries this one forward, cuts crossing into the end zone. Touchdown, Eagles. Kate Kronik from 1 yard out makes it now 20-6.
Welcome to the Eagles Coaches Show, driven by Bonanza Ford on AM 1440 KRDZ. I'm Robert Lovell, and to start things off here for the Coaches Show, I will be joined by Coach Levi Kramer of the Eagles football team, and also joining me is the football broadcast partner for KRDZ, Chris Reed. First off, Coach, as you look back at last week's game, it wasn't the best game your team has played, but saw some good things, saw some things you can work on. Just give me a recap of what you saw last week in the quarterfinals against Holyoke.
Well, you know, it was a tough situation having to play him again in such a short time. So that was a different thing for us. But really, if you look at the game film, and it was just us not finishing things, you know, not finishing blocks, not finishing tackles. And that's something we obviously got to get fixed for this week.
One thing that Chris and I noticed during the game was the amount of penalties. It was more penalties than we've seen probably since the first couple of games of the season, where your team had struggled with penalties early on in the year, got better, got that corrected, and then again, here in Holyoke, it was saw some of those penalties. What are some ways you're going to try to fix that coming into this next game?
Well, that all gets down to mental focus. It's you know, people started getting tired, and then once you start getting tired, you know, your mind gets weak, and we just have to do a better job, probably substituting a little bit, and we, you know, also talk to the kids about, you know, it's your job. If you're gassed, man, you got to get out. We got a bunch of boys that we can play, and but it's just that, you know, it's really mental toughness is what it is, and you know, we just went back to zero. We fixed it once, so we can fix it again, and we're just kind of going, you know, just kind of reminding them of, you know, when we're playing well and without penalties, you know, how are we doing that? So we've just kind of refocused.
You talk about getting guys in that can play. You have a lot of depth on the sidelines there, and that comes to the fact that you've been able to play a lot of these younger guys have been able to get a lot of time this year. But one player I want to ask you about is Cade Schultz, who was, of course, out that game with a ankle injury. He dressed but didn't play, and that obviously lost some of that depth on the line. What is your plan with Cade Schultz as far as this week? Is he going to be able to go? And if he can't, what is your plan with that position defensive line-wise?
Well, right now it's not looking good, you know, and hopefully, you know, hopefully it'll heal and we can get him and all those things. But right now we kind of have to plan for the worst, and not the worst, just plan for, you know, what's been put in front of us. And, you know, Aaron Escamilla stepped in, did a really good job. And that's, you know, a lot of that is just conditioning too. He works really hard on the offensive line, and we can't expect him to go both ways in there, especially this week with these good guards we're going against. So, you know, we're going to pepper some people in there. Austin Clapper is going to get some looks. You know, he's a quick kid, kind of like Cade. And then, you know, you'll see a couple of different people, you know, O'Neill Lenz, and we're just going to have to do it by committee.
Coach, as you look back at this Holyoke game, they did a pretty good job of limiting your run offense. Now, part of that was because of, we talked about the penalties that pushed you guys back, and you kind of were forced into pass to try to get more yards. But for the most part, Holyoke did a pretty good job of limiting your runs. How are they able to do that?
Well, they put a lot of people in the box, and but they also play. They have a good scheme. You know, they put their two of their best outside defenders. They played a cover two almost exclusively during the game, and that puts another guy in that alley, which is our number one attacking point. You know, anybody that watches us, we want to go right off tackle and hit that alley, and they just put more people in there than we had. So you know, looking back on the game, I probably should have thrown more. And most people that know me, that's usually not a fault of mine. But I think, you know, going back to doing it again, you know, we probably should have thrown a little bit more and got some people loosened up.
You talk about your passing game. Passing-wise, I think maybe people were I was a little bit surprised at how effectively you're able to pass because of the wet conditions. But really, I was really encouraged with how well your line did in pass protection, but in the routes the receivers ran, how well Cable was able to throw the ball, and that was that encouraging coming into this next week?
Oh, very much so, and I think that's that confidence that our team really, really needed was we know we can throw the ball. We haven't been successful with it lately, but, you know, we needed a game like that reminded us that, you know, we're not just a running team. We are multidimensional, and, you know, coaching staff probably need to be reminded of that too.
Coach, one thing that I noticed during the game was the level of excitement that Holyoke brought to it. The fans were really into the game. The kids were just ecstatic over their success in the playoffs, mm-hmm. which they've been without for most of their careers. Talk to me about how you handled that.
I'll tell you what, that's tough when you go into a playoff game into another town. And I know it wasn't very far travel, but I mean, right when we got off there, their fans were already there. They were already grouping there, you know, and you could tell they were excited. And you just have to tell the kids that you know that they're going to come out, and it's not going to be for a quarter. It's going to be for four quarters. And I think Holyoke is a great example of what confidence does for anybody. You know, they believed in themselves. The town believed in them, and it was just. It was really cool to go up to Holyoke and have that atmosphere. That hadn't been that like that in the past, and it was just a cool game. And, you know, it's a game that both sides, I think, will remember for a long time.
Coming up this week, you do play against a good Buena Vista team that has some really good runners, and we'll talk some more about them in a minute. But I wanted to reference them when looking back at Brett Cumming for Holyoke. He eclipsed the 1,500-yard mark on the season, really had a great season and career there at Holyoke. But how does maybe the game that he played maybe help prepare you for this next game?
Well, I'll tell you what, just the tackling part, you know, and we've had to play him two out of the last three games. So going after a shifty runner like that, a good runner like that, a patient runner like that is going to help us, obviously, this week. Now, they have a little bit different styles. Buena Vista kids, I mean, they get downhill in a hurry and, you know, really physical. And, you know, Brett's physical too, but in a different manner. He's going to be shifty at first, and then he's going to finish runs. So there's a little bit of difference, but at the same time, it all comes down to hitting the inside hip and running through it. So that has to help us coming in.
I talked to Coach Dunn earlier this week and just about the linebacking group that he really focuses on defensively there, and he mentioned to me Baylor Buck. He's been really impressed with what Baylor Buck has been doing the last couple of weeks, especially because he doesn't play the whole time there at linebacker. Mm-hmm. You rotate him in and out, and he led the team with 9 tackles against Holyoke. How has Baylor Buck's progression been these last few weeks?
Well, you can see he's starting to get comfortable with position, and he is getting more of the reps. He used to be kind of a 50-50 deal, and he's getting more now. And it really comes down to, as a middle linebacker, is getting your reads and trusting them and then flying to the ball. And once you see green grass, trusting that, you know, your film study, your coaches and all that are right, that go. Because as a middle backer, it's not – it's one of those, you see an open hole and you're running, but you don't see the runner yet. You know, you're trusting everything, and then the play will come to you. And I really think that started to happen for him. When both of those guys, and then Carl included, when they're doing that, we're a tough defensive team.
Coach, just an offensive question for you. In regards, you have 5 different running backs that you like to give the ball. Mm-hmm. You don't have a method to your madness, from what I can tell every week, who you give the ball to more. Obviously, Cade is probably your primary running back. Talk to me about how important it is to have all those guys on your team.
Well, what's great as a coach is you can go in with a game plan and, you know, your script that you're going to run some plays and all that. But when you have 5 that you can kind of tinker with, you can get into the game flow and say, hey, man, you know, hey, they're trying to take this away, but man, they're really giving us this over here. And with those options, you can attack different places, and it's that makes it really nice. If you only have 1 or 2, you know, you don't have very many options to go to. So, you know, a lot of the times we'll get halfway into the, you know, half, start of the second quarter, and my game plan's pretty much scrapped because, you know, hey, they're giving us a different look. So, but it's nice to have those different options that we can just change, and that's a real credit to the kids that they can go in thinking one thing and it changes, and we just say, hey, man, it's changed. Let's go here and let's attack them here.
Well, you mentioned the credit to the kids that make that possible to be able to do that. How do you practice them so that they are in a situation where in their minds they think, okay, I can make that change and just go with it?
I think some of it is in practice. You know, we challenge them mentally. You know, it always bugs me that when people look at football players as dumb, because football players to me are the smartest athletes around. They have to think about what 10 other people are doing and then the 11 on the other side. And what we'll do is just in the middle of practice, I'll throw out a play call that they've never, ever done before, and I'll give it to the play guy. He'll go out, and I'll say, just tell him to run it. And they just have to figure it out. And, you know, just through our terminology, which is our own little language, they figure it out. And we just, you know, 2 or 3 times a day, we'll just do that just to see if they can pick it up. And, you know, almost all the time they do. So then in a game when you do it, it's not that big of a deal.
Coach, I talked to a few people from Holyoke throughout this week, earlier this week as well, about the game on Saturday. And one of the first things that everybody I talked to mentioned was number 47, how he was just hammering people. And that of course, is Austin Reed. Mm-hmm. He was really out there. I mean, when he went after somebody, he hit them hard. He wasn't just going to tackle them. He wanted them to almost send mm-hmm. a message, it seemed like. And many of them referenced the hit on Brett Cumming that you nominated and we all agreed on as the hit of the game. But talk about Austin, his importance as in his position that he plays on the defensive side of the ball, and then how he's able to go out and make those plays.
Well, he's, you know, first of all, our defense kind of is anchored around that stone position, and Austin's been doing it for 2 years, and that's a position where we're saying you're not going to run off tackle here. You know, and once that's established, now everybody else can play their positions and run and trust everything. And so his job is just huge within the defense. And then what I've really seen these last probably 4 or 5 weeks is the physical play. Austin's always been, I mean, he's a smart kid, and he's always been a reader, you know, that, hell, read this, and he's a technician. And I don't know what has happened. I wish I could take the credit, but all of a sudden now he's doing that and then laying the wood as well, which I'll have to ask him what happened, because I'd like to, you know, teach a couple other kids that too.
Chris, you want to take the credit for that one?
No, that was all Austin on his own. I agree with Coach. Just in the last couple of weeks, he's been ultra motivated, and I think for all the kids, they get a sense that they're only a couple games away, and mm-hmm. they're very excited.
And plays like that, the big hit is, that resonates through everybody. You know, once they get, especially if you get a hit on one of their good players. Brett's so shifty, you don't get too many hits on that kid. And when you do get a big physical play, if you notice that afterwards, everybody started playing more physical, and, you know, we had some success.
This is the Ray Eagles Coaches Show, driven by Bonanza Ford on AM 1440 KRDZ. I'm Robert Lovell. I'm joined by Chris Reed and Coach Levi Kramer. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the semifinal matchup coming up between Ray and number one ranked Buena Vista. Once again, this is the Ray Eagles Coaches Show on AM 1440 KRDZ.
Okay, takes the snap, quarterback keeper, follows the block, into the end zone, touchdown Eagles. Cade Ronick carries it in from 3 yards down, and the Eagles strike first here in the quarterfinal game with 44 seconds left in the first quarter. Takes the snap, going to hand this one off to Cumming. Cumming cuts back inside after slipping, and Austin Reed gets a nominee for the South 40 auto body hit of the game as he just hammered him. Going to send Churchill in motion, low snap, Ronick picks it up, drops back to pass. Rolling to his right, now throws back down the field, going for Austin Reed. Caught inside the 20, and down to the 10, 5, touchdown Eagles. Austin Reed with a man on his back carries it into the end zone.
Welcome back to the Ray Eagles Coaches Show, driven by Bonanza Ford on AM 1440 KRDZ. I'm Robert Lovell, and continuing with our conversation with Coach Levi Kramer alongside Chris Reed. Coach, as we look forward now to the semifinal matchup coming up this Saturday against the team that for the most part of the season has been ranked number one in the state, that is, of course, the Buena Vista Demons. As you look at this team, you've seen film on this team. What do you initially see?
They're just their talent just from top to bottom. And, you know, I think when you look at a lot of teams, high school teams our size, it's, man, they got a great line, or they got a good quarterback, or, man, their backs are really good. If you look at these guys top to bottom, they have a great offensive line. Their center and two guards are extremely good. They have a very good quarterback. They have a great tailback, and their two wings can run the ball. I mean, just from top to bottom, they're just talented football players.
The film that I have watched on them, they, as I watched, I spotted a few numbers. Okay, this guy, he does things well. And as I looked at all those numbers, then I went and looked at their roster, they're all seniors. Mm-hmm. All those guys that make those key players that I saw are all seniors. How much do you think that helps them, knowing that they're an experienced team?
It helps a ton. And you know, if you look at our team and our senior leadership, and they've been through those games and those wars, and it's just a different attitude when you have a solid group of seniors leading the way. It's just different. And you can tell that they're also leaders on the field as well. They're not just good football players. They're leading their team too. And like I said, just top to bottom, they're pretty dang good.
They, of course, are coming down from 2A last year to 1A this year, and so they might be on the slightly larger end as far as school size goes. But as you look at this team, they have to drive 5 hours to come play you at Powell Field. How much do you see the home field advantage helping your team, both now, this week, and in the past, And then how much you think that 5-hour drive could affect them?
Well, you know, and I'm not too familiar on how much they have to travel, you know, just normally. So it's, I think a lot of that is experience. You know, if you've been on those trips, those long trips, and you know how to stay the night, and you know how to do those things, you know, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I do, for us playing at Powell, I do think that's a special thing, you know. Through the program, we always talk about, you know, earning a right to get to the playoffs, earning a right to play on Powell Field again. And it's a special atmosphere, and you know, we love that place. And it's nice to sleep in your own bed and, you know, get up, go to Powell and all those things. And, you know, we're grateful we get to play on Powell again, quite frankly.
Yeah, we talk about the field as itself, and you mentioned the atmosphere, and Chris mentioned the atmosphere up in Holyoke last week that the Holyoke fans brought to the game. When I watch this Ray team, these Ray fans, they always seem to bring that same type of atmosphere, and it was there again against Byers in that first playoff game at home. How much does it help to have the fans provide that much of an atmosphere for you?
It's absolutely huge. It's been huge for, I mean, I don't think a lot of programs get, you know, fans traveling and watch 7-on-7 during the summer and things like that. You know, it's huge. I mean, and those kids look up and they see that, and, you know, it's the middle of July and they know that, hey, man, these guys care about us. And, you know, when you walk into a playoff game, you know, especially a semifinal game and at Powell, and, you know, when we're coming in, everybody's already there, and, you know, they've taped off the bleachers, and the kids know that, you know, people care about them, and that goes a long ways. And we're spoiled. There's absolutely no question about it. We got the best fans in the state, and it means a ton to us.
Coach, one thing that I've picked up from this Buena Vista team already, from the little film that I've watched, is they're big and physical. You really haven't faced a team with this kind of size or this level of physicality. How do you plan on approaching that, and how do you teach it to the kids all week?
Well, we've kind of went back to Brush, and I think their offensive line compares pretty well with Brush, you know, and big, physical. But what's really special about Buena Vista too is they're fast, you know, big, fast, and physical. Is those are three pretty good things. And we've went back to Brush and, you know, and looked at our success and our failures at Brush, you know, and it really comes down to, you know, we can play physical with people. We can. And, you know, showing them that and reminding them that, hey, we have played against a big physical line. And, you know, at the end of the day, what killed us in Brush was turnovers. And, you know, we just got to play physical, hold on to the ball like, you know, like we need to, and then grind things out.
Staying on the physical side of the game, I would say that for most of your games this year, since that Brush game, your team has been the more physical team going into it. And I think other teams have expected that. One team that I think they thought they were going to be more physical than you was Wiggins. They had some big guys, both offensive line and defensive line. But how is your team able to prepare from that and maybe take from that game, along with the Brush game, to prepare for this one?
Well, and I think anytime, you know, you're playing physical teams throughout, it helps, you know, just your progression. And, you know, it gets back to confidence again that we can play physical, and it doesn't matter how big they are, we can still get after them. But I think the biggest challenge we have again is they're big, they're physical, but the quickness is what's really going to you know, cause some problems for us. But, you know, we've done some things blocking scheme wise and you know, just talking to them about where their spots are going to be, and you know, we just got to execute it now.
Following the Brush game, one of the first things you said that your defense did was that they were making their right reads, they just weren't trusting their reads and weren't reacting to them. So how important is it now this week to, especially going up against that physical line, that quick line, to make those reads and make the reaction?
Well, I've, you know, made a challenge to the kids. You know, we watch film before practice just, you know, to get us in the right frame of mind and talk about our jobs. And we've made a challenge to them that nobody walks off the practice field with a question in the back of their mind. If they have, you know, if it's about a certain offensive play or defensive play, you need to be asking those questions. We're asking Tuesday, you know, and then Wednesday, you know, doing the same thing, Thursday, Friday. If we do it that way and we get into Saturday, there is no questions in the back of your mind. Now it's just see, go. And, you know, if we don't get those questions answered before that, that's when that little doubt gets in the back of your mind. You're a half a step slow. So, you know, a lot of it is just communication at this point, you know, and making sure they know every little call and all those things, and then just trusting it.
I want to ask you what you look at the offensive side of the ball for this Buena Vista team. Their quarterback, it seems like they pretty well allow him to do what you allow Cade to do. They allow him to make that read. They have a different offensive formation, but they basically have an option there for he gets to choose who gets the ball on each play. What do you see in that?
Him and Cade are very, very similar, and they do let him make a lot of decisions. And this is just, I'm biased here because that's kind of my philosophy too. But I think the more that you put decision making in the kids' hands, the more they grasp it and the more, they're bought into it. And I think, when you watch Buena Vista, it's the same thing that, and the kids playing with them get a lot of confidence too. Once they see him making all these right decisions, now all of a sudden those 10 guys know, hey, when this play's called, he's going to get us in the right position. And I think that's why you see him playing so hard, because they know at the end of the day, he's going to give the right person the ball and they're going to be successful.
Coach, last week at Holyoke, we noticed about midway through the game that it wasn't the first handoff or fake that was getting you. It was the second handoff or fake. Mm-hmm. I saw the same similarities in the Buena Vista film. How do you feel that your team's grown over this week of practice?
Well, I think one of the things, just seeing that the Holyoke film, and if we trust our reads, we're fine. But we started getting back to that thing where we're standing up a little bit, looking in the backfield. And, so we just have to rep it. And they do have that little kind of double reverse type of a deal with the counter tray. And we repped a ton last night, and we just, again, got to get them comfortable in looking at it and then being able to trust a run to it.
Coach, as I look at this team, they're three runners. They're three primary runners, and they all run quite a bit. They're all physical, but they all run pretty high, which I think bodes mm-hmm. well for your linebackers to be able to see where they're going to be at, to be able to help react to that. Or you talked earlier where you got to react and you don't know the runner's coming yet. This way they might, because they're high runners and fairly tall, you might be able to see where they're at.
Yeah, they do run a little bit high to start with, but like we've been telling the kids is they finish low. They start high, but man, once they see contact coming, they finish low. And a sign of a good running back, at least I always thought, was after contact, where are they landing? And these guys are landing 2 and 3 yards in front, and that to me is a good sign of a good running back. And we've got to get it to where we are hitting them low and driving them back and not giving them those two or three extra yards.
Then also, Coach, one of the things that I noticed on the film of this Buena Vista team is that they're, you might be able to pass. Their pass rush was not very good from what I saw, and maybe you've seen more than me, so maybe you can correct me on that. But their pass rush wasn't as good as maybe I expected, and also looked to me like the receivers running the routes in those films that I saw were able to get open.
Well, I think they're first of all, their two safeties are ball hawks. I mean, they're waiting for somebody to put one up there, and they go after the ball very, very well. They're almost entirely a cover two team, which, there are some things that we run that are better into a cover two than maybe some other things. But, their pass rush, I think part of that is, they're going against teams that they know that want to run the ball. So a lot of their slants and stunts are run stunts, and they're going to take away that first. In passing situations, they do some really cool things that get it into it. So I think, what does that mean for us? We need to throw in running positions, in running downs, and get them into some of their run stunts. And but I think if we get in a lot of third and 20s, things like that, they're going to put their ears back and get after us.
How important is it for your team offensively to be aggressive in this game?
I think that's a key to it all. In football, especially when you're talking about four teams left, it's the most aggressive people that win. Now we have to be patient with it and realize that we're going to attack. But 3 yards is good. 3 yards is good. We get those three times in a row, we're going to go for it on fourth and one. And if you look at their film, they have the exact same philosophy. They were watching film and one of the kids piped up and they said, "Do they ever punt?" And I said, about as much as we do. I don't think they like punting either. So it's going to be two aggressive teams and it should be a fun one.
And then I'm kind of bouncing around here a little bit, but just before we finish up, I want to go back to the defensive side of the ball and talk. I want to ask you about the importance of your safeties, Cade Reinick and Jaden Valco, in this one. The importance of them being run stoppers or dropping back into pass, where Buena Vista doesn't really pass a lot. I think it's about 12% of the time they pass. So what is their role going to be, and how important is it?
Well, I think Buena Vista is kind of like us with throwing the ball, that they might not throw it a ton, but when they do, they're really effective with it. So our safeties, that's probably the toughest read on defense is getting into your run fits on a run read, but then also getting into your pass drops when it's a pass. And they're a zone team, so they're running attack is very similar to their pass protection. So it's going to be tough on them, but they're seniors. They've played a lot of games, and if I had to pick two people to go into this game with, I'd pick those two.
Yeah, absolutely. They've had a great year so far, both Cade and Jaden on the defensive side of the ball. Coach, once again, I do appreciate you taking the time to come out here and join me for the Ragos Coaches Show this week. Chris, I appreciate you joining in on the conversation with Coach Kramer as well. Coach, good luck this Saturday. And once again, we do want to let people know, we announced this morning, but your team did win both coin tosses against Cedar Edge and Hotchkiss. So if you are able to win this week, you will host the state championship. Does that mean anything to you and your team going into this week?
Well, it gives you extra motivation. You know, we talked about before, we love playing on Powell. And, you know, we talked about yesterday, you know, this is one of the greatest opportunities we've ever been given. We get the chance that if we can get this done, we get to come back home. And, man, if you need any more motivation than that, we shouldn't be around.
All right, Coach. Once again, thanks for joining me.
All right. Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break. Once again, this is the Ray Eagles Coaches Show, driven by Bonanza Ford on AM 1440 KRDZ. When we come back, Chris Reed and I will talk and try to break down the games from our points of view as well.